The Rookery had become the last safe haven for rebels on Logris. As a result, that rogue's paradise and city within a city had become impossibly overcrowded and was actually threatening to burst at its seams. The Rookery had become the last place you could run to where Finn's agents wouldn't pursue. For the moment, at least. The hidden rotten heart of the Empire's most famous city was now an incredibly dangerous, violent place. The original occupants of the Rookery were finding it increasingly difficult to prey on outsiders as of old, due to the Emperor's murderously strict martial law, and so they had taken to preying on each other. And most especially on the newcomers, who quickly learned that the only safety lay in numbers. The Rookery had become a bad place to be a man alone. And yet, still the people came, because as bad as the Rookery was, everywhere else was worse. Everyone in the Rookery had lost someone to Finn's people, or knew someone who had. There was a lot of sullen anger in the crowded streets, and in the smoky, overpriced taverns, but as yet it had little focus. The Emperor was just too strong, too big a target for their beaten-down spirits. Its only expression so far had been the Rookery's turning against all those who had helped Finn in his rise to power. The agents provocateur had been burned out of their clubs and sent running through the streets to be hunted down like dogs. Everyone else who'd worked with or for Finn Girondal was now being very quiet about it, for fear of being denounced as a spy or informer. Just the rumor was enough to raise up a mob baying for blood, and broken bodies soon blocked the gutters. Everyone expected the Emperor to order an invasion of the Rookery at some point, but no one was doing anything about it. There were no meetings, no plans, no defenses. No one trusted anyone. Douglas Campbell, who had once been a king, and Stuart Lennox, who had once been a paragon, now worked as masked bravos for hire, protecting the Flea Trap Hotel they were staying in from all the many predators of the streets. Masked bravos were a common sight in the Rookery these days. Lots of people had good reason to conceal their identities. Douglas and Stuart wore simple leather masks and cheap but serviceable clothing. They'd sold the better clothes they arrived in to raise the money to acquire the single hotel room that Douglas and Stuart and Nina Malapert now lived in. The Lantern Lodge was one of the oldest surviving hotels in the Rookery, and looked it. The squat, ugly building was dark, damp, and extremely run down, and no one had spent money on it in generations. The outer stone walls were blackened with layers of soot and grime. The windows did little more than let the light in, and there hadn't been any lead on the roof in living memory. It was sweltering hot in the summer and bitter cold in the winter, and every room came with hot and cold running rats, not to mention bed bugs. At first, Douglas had thought the single bed came with a built-in vibrating mechanism, and was seriously and loudly upset when the truth was made clear to him. But it was a room, and rooms were hard to come by, so no one complained. Douglas and Stuart worked as the hotel's bravos for free bed and board. It wasn't much, but it was better than a lot of people had. There were those who had to fight every night to protect their place in a doorway or a cardboard box. Nina was doing marginally better. She was working with a few other rogue media people to put together a rebel news site, tapping briefly into the main media feeds to try to get a little truth on the air now and again. There wasn't any money in it yet, but Nina had great hopes for the future. There were quite a few ex-media people in the Rookery, since Finn's people had taken complete control of all the official media. There were no shows anymore, just constant propaganda. There were riots in the streets on the day that Quality was taken off the air, but Finn had just had his people use the rioters for target practice until they got the message and slunk off home. But a lot of news people had brought their technical knowledge to the Rookery, and the Rebel News site was already up and running. Unfortunately, it took expensive and hard-to-get tech to keep it on the air and keep fighting its way through the official censor's firewalls, so there was always a problem with funding. It wasn't as though they could sell advertising space. Douglas and Stuart had been on duty outside the Lantern Lodge entrance since first light, and now it was nearly midday. It had been drizzling for hours, a cold, numbing, persistent fall that soaked everything and everyone. The sewers were overrunning again, and the stench in the street was almost unbearable. The heavy, gloomy day settled over everyone like a bad mood. People slouched back and forth along the narrow streets, heads down to avoid eye contact, in pursuit of work or a room, or anything that might bring in a few credits. Times were hard. There was damn all left to steal, and rats were becoming a delicacy. But, crowded as the street was, everyone gave the two masked bravos outside the Lantern Lodge plenty of room. Douglas and Stewart had demonstrated their willingness to protect the hotel on many occasions, in a professionally violent and disturbingly thorough way that had impressed even the hardened denizens of the rookery, which was why the two men were just a little surprised to observe a small crowd of heavily armed men heading in their direction. A dozen or so men moved like professional fighters, and while they hadn't drawn any weapons yet, there was something about them that suggested their appearance was only a matter of time.
You know them, Stewart?
Some of them. Brian Durack's men. Protection racketeer. Pretty much everyone around here pays off Durack just to be left alone. But he usually targets the bigger businesses, not dumps like this.
Maybe he's branching out. How do you want to play this?
Oh, the usual. Reason first, escalating quickly to extreme violence.
Sounds like a plan to me.
The dozen or so thugs and bully boys came to a halt, a respectful distance away from the two masked bravos. The street rapidly cleared as everyone else suddenly remembered they had urgent business elsewhere. Window shutters slammed together up and down the street. Even the drizzle seemed to hold back, as though anxious to see what would happen next. One of the men stepped forward to face Douglas and Stewart. He was taller than most and bigger, with a layer of fat over his muscles to show he was one of the few people in the rookery still eating well and often. He wore a long, heavy leather coat, decorated all over with steel piercings. A row of human scalps had been stitched to one sleeve as trophies. He wore splashes of bright color on his face under a flat, dark, wide-brimmed hat. He smiled easily at Douglas and Stewart, but it didn't touch his eyes.
Step aside, boys. My business is with the owner.
We don't do stepping aside. It's bad for our reputation. You want to talk to the owner, you talk to us first.
Now that's a very unfriendly attitude. You don't want to hurt my feelings, do you?
We're not paid to be friendly.
All right. I will go that extra mile to avoid unnecessary trouble. The name is Sewell. I work for Brian Durack. This is his territory. You live in his territory, you pay him tribute. That's just the way it is. In return, we make sure nothing horribly destructive happens to your property. Or indeed, you. Nasty things pretty much nearly always happen if you're not Durack's friend.
We're a bit small fry for Durack, aren't we?
Times are hard. Now you've made a good showing. Honor is satisfied, so stand aside.
The old protection racket. A loathsome little scam when all is said and done. Based on terror and intimidation and a facade of invulnerability. Unfortunately for Durack and you, my partner and I don't intimidate that easily. We faced much worse than you in our time.
We're here to protect the hotel from scumbags like you, Sewell. And we take a real pride in our work. So walk on, or we'll step on you.
Sewell looked at them for a long moment, apparently unable to believe what he was hearing. He wasn't smiling anymore.
Listen, Leatherfaces. This is Durack's territory. He owns it, and everyone in it. You only live here because he allows you to. And if you annoy him, you don't get to live here anymore. And an insult to me is an insult to him.
What a marvelously time-saving scheme.
That's it. You just can't help some people. Drop your weapons on the ground, kneel down and say you're sorry, and we'll let you off with a beating. Make us work for this, and we'll cut you open and see what color your guts really are.
We don't do kneeling either. Bad for the reputation and the trousers. Makes the knees go all baggy. Now push off, Thoughtface.
Sewell's face darkened, and he turned to his men.
Kill them, and make it messy. And afterwards...
Douglas's energy beam punched right through the man. The front of Sewell's leather coat was on fire. The thugs finally thought to draw their own weapons, but by then Douglas and Stewart were among them, swords in hands. The bully boys tried to make a fight of it, but it had been a long time since they had to deal with anything but frightened and dispirited people. They didn't stand a chance against two ex-paragons. Douglas and Stewart cut their way through the pack with vicious skill, moving fluidly and easily and protecting each other's backs at all times. They worked well together. Their swords flashed brightly in the gloom like rays of hope. And blood pooled on the ground, hardly dispersed at all by the slow drizzle. Bodies fell with slashed throats and gaping wounds, and did not rise again. And quicker than anyone had thought possible, it was all over. Douglas and Stuart stood together, barely even breathing hard, as blood dripped thickly from their blades. The sole surviving thug stood with his back to a wall, looking at the two Bravos with wide, horrified eyes. Douglas and Stuart turned to look at him, and he quickly dropped his sword on the ground and raised his shaking hands in the air.
Who are you? What are you? No one fights like that.
We are Douglas and Stuart, Bravos for hire. And that's all anyone needs to know.
Douglas and Stuart had tried using false names when they first arrived in the rookery, but they kept forgetting them or confusing who was supposed to be which, so they gave them up. Douglas and Stuart were common enough names.
In case you're wondering, we let you live because you're going to carry a message to Dirac. And the message is, leave us alone. Leave the Lantern Lodge alone. Pretend this unpleasantness never happened. That way we can all hope to live long and profitable lives. Be persuasive, because Dirac wouldn't like the alternative. Really, he wouldn't. Now go away, and don't come back.
Douglas went through the pockets of all the men they'd killed. Hard times bred hard ways, and credit had no provenance in the rookery. When they were sure they'd got everything worth the having, Douglas and Stuart returned to their post at the front door and counted it up. There wasn't much. People slowly emerged onto the street again to steal the dead body's clothing.
I hate this place. People shouldn't have to live like this.
It's the rookery. They do things differently here. They always have.
Not like this. It's never been as bad as this.
They watched as the growing crowd squabbled over the dead body's few remaining possessions. By nightfall, the bodies would be gone too, and it was wise not to ask where.
Like rats in a graveyard.
Even rats have to eat.
Oh.
Stuart looked at Douglas. He'd been trying to help the disturbed, brooding Douglas ever since they'd come to the rookery. But the man who had once been king and lost everyone and everything he ever believed in didn't want to be helped. This was the most Stuart had heard Douglas speak in days, probably because he only seemed to come alive when he was fighting. And even then, the Campbell fought with precision rather than passion. Stuart kept trying to draw him out, but Douglas seemed unwilling or incapable of thinking about the future, as though just getting through each day was hard enough. The man who had once been king now seemed tired all the time, physically and spiritually. He was drawing further and further inside himself, despite everything Stuart or Nina could do to help.
Things shouldn't have to be this way. We ought to be doing something to help these people. We took an oath as paragons to protect the people, remember?
Yeah, I remember. I wasn't sure you did.
Some hours later, their relief arrived to take over. Their replacements were just ordinary muscle for hire from the local hiring house. No one special. The house just sent over whoever was available. The two bruisers nodded respectfully to Douglas and Stuart as they disappeared inside the hotel for their only meal of the day. The lobby wasn't up to much. Paint-peeling walls, sawdust on the floor, and no chairs. Nothing to encourage anyone to linger. Just a battered old reception desk where the staff were protected from the customers by a heavy metal grill. There was an elevator at the back, but its operation was a sometime thing and did not inspire confidence. Douglas and Stuart climbed the 5 flights of stairs to their single shared room. They didn't disturb the handful of ragged forms who'd paid to be allowed to sleep in the stairwells. Nina Malapert was already there in their room, laying the food on the table, which was a bad sign. She was only ever back this early when her day's work had gone really badly. She nodded briefly at the two men as they sat wearily down at the table. It wasn't a big room, and with the table unfolded, it took up most of the available space. Dinner was boiling on a hot plate, set perilously close to the only bed. Douglas and Stuart shared the bed. Nina had made a nest of blankets for herself in one corner. There was only one window, smeared with the debris of years. Douglas and Stewart took off their leather masks and dropped them on the table beside their plates. Their faces felt hot and sweaty from the leather, despite the early evening chill that had worked its way into the room. Douglas Campbell was still a handsome man, with his noble brow and great mane of golden hair, but more than ever, he looked like a wounded lion brought down by jackals, a great man brought low by too many losses and the unbearable weight of unrelinquished responsibilities. Stuart Lennox looked much older than his years warranted. A stern young man, with a drawn, almost gaunt face, his gaze was always a little distracted, and he rarely smiled anymore. And even Nina Malapert was no longer the happy, bubbling free spirit of old. The demon girl reporter, who laughed at danger and would dare anything for a scoop, wasn't exactly gone, just suppressed by the weight of life in the rookery. But it did seem she didn't smile nearly as much as she once had. Her tall pink mohawk bobbed angrily as she ladled out the meal. Douglas watched Nina bustle about and tried hard to feel something. It was difficult for him to feel anything much anymore. His family was dead, his friends were gone, his responsibilities taken from him. He felt lost and unfocused without them. He wasn't a king anymore, or even a paragon, but he didn't know how to be anything else. So mostly he just went through the motions, getting through the day until he could finally go to bed and lose himself in sleep. He looked at the discarded leather Bravo's mask beside his plate. Sometimes he thought that was his real face now. He could feel Stuart looking at him, and stared at the mess on his plate, so he wouldn't have to look at Stuart. He knew the earnest young man only wanted to help, but Douglas didn't want to be helped. He wanted to be numb, so he wouldn't have to think or feel or remember. According to the official media news sites, Anne Barkley was dead, killed by falling debris during Douglas's daring escape from the court. Another old friend hurt and gone because of him. Nina tried to tell him you couldn't trust anything on the official sites these days, that it was all Finn's propaganda, but that was just Nina being kind. At least Lewis and Jessamine were still out there somewhere, avoiding capture. Douglas hoped they were happy at least. He desperately wanted somebody to be happy, out of the mess he'd made of things. He looked at his dinner. It wasn't much, but then it never was. Stringy meat and potatoes with lumpy gravy. Douglas pushed it about a bit with his fork.
What's the meat?
Best not to ask.
Nina sat down next to Douglas.
And you really don't want to know what's in the gravy.
Is there pudding?
What do you think?
Stuart had a plate of ropey-looking vegetables boiled within an inch of their lives. He never touched meat. The others never said anything. They knew why. Once, Nina would have insisted on their saying grace first, but they had all fallen far beyond a state of grace now. The three of them sat and ate for a while in silence. It was food, and it was fuel, and that was all it was.
I heard a rumor today.
Now there's a surprise. The whole place runs on rumors.
This one was about Clan Deathstalker. Word is, a handful of minor cousins escaped the slaughter on Veermond. And might be coming here.
I'm sorry, Stuart. But I was there, remember? With poor Emma. I saw them all die. No one escaped.
Some of them could have been off-planet.
Perhaps. There's always hope.
Poor Lewis. The last Deathstalker. I wonder if anyone's told him yet. I can't help feeling sorry for him.
Even though he stole the woman you loved?
She was never really mine. I never really knew her. There wasn't time. I thought we'd have all the time we needed to get to know each other after we were married. Now, I think perhaps I only wed the image, the diva and the star. Maybe that's why she fell for Lewis. Because he was the only one who cared for the real her.
Douglas made himself eat the rest of his meal. Stuart and Nina would only look at him if he didn't, and he didn't know how much more of their worrying about him he could stand. He supposed there would come a day when he'd be so hungry he'd be able to wolf it all down without tasting it, but he wasn't looking forward to that.
All finished.
Nina was trying to be motherly and supportive, but truth be told, she wasn't very good at it. Douglas gave her extra marks for trying, anyway.
I have made some progress. I'm pleased to report.
Douglas made himself concentrate as he realized she was about to say something about a new step forward in her attempts to set up a viable rogue news site.
A whole bunch of new media people have turned up in the rookery. First-class techs, the loveys. Just what we needed. I mean, yes, I'm a reporter and all that, but I never did understand the science side of things. Up till now, it's been the blind leading the deaf and trying not to electrocute ourselves. These new guys got out of the city just ahead of Finn's people, and they're keen as mustard to get some payback by helping us set up our site. Pretty soon, we'll be able to tap into the official news feeds whenever we feel like it. And I'm going to be the face on the screen. Nina Malapert, presenter and superstar. Mummy would be so proud.
But what are you going to say? People will watch for a while out of curiosity, but you're going to need something dramatic to show them to keep their attention.
Well, I'll tell them how bad things are here in the rookery.
They won't care. They've got their own problems living under Emperor Finn. You need to offer them something they don't know.
Like what?
Hope.
Nina and Stuart both looked at Douglas quickly. But he was gone again, lost in his own bitter thoughts. Nina patted him gently on the arm and took the dirty plates over to the far-from-hygienic sink in the corner.
Damn you, Douglas! You make me sick! How much longer are you gonna sit around feeling sorry for yourself? This isn't your personal tragedy! People are dying every day under Finn. Your people! Finn murdered your father, took over your throne, and named himself Emperor! What does it take to move you? To make you a man again?
Douglas looked up, and what was in his eyes made Stuart fall back a step. And there was no telling what might have happened next if the mood hadn't been suddenly broken.
Douglas! Stuart!
Douglas and Stuart looked at each other. And then they went over to the window and cracked it open as far as it would go. Nina squeezed determinedly in beside them. Down in the street, the protection racketeer they'd let go earlier had returned, with a whole new crowd of friends and associates. Big, brutal-looking men, loaded down with weapons and body armor. The two bravos for hire who should have been guarding the hotel were already dead, their gutted bodies hanging from lampposts. The hotel owner, his wife, and their three small children stood inside a circle of drawn swords, clinging to each other. The ringleader of the gang was looking up at Douglas, Stuart, and Nina. A large man, a fat man, in an area where most people went to bed hungry. He wore the very latest fashions, but a thug in silks is still a thug. He was smiling cheerfully.
Well, hello up there. I'm Brian Zarak. These men work for me. So did the ones you killed. Oh, I'm not one to bear a grudge. Does an organization good. Have a deadwood trim now and again. You have to pause me, gentlemen. And that's not easy. Now do me good, boys, to come down and talk with me. Or I'll kill your peasant employer and his family while you watch. Slow and nasty and very messily. What's it to be, gentlemen?
Douglas and Stuart drew back from the window and looked at each other.
Well, what is it to be?
We don't owe them anything. Don't even know them. But if we back down from scum like these, we'll never get any peace.
Oh, silly me. I thought we might go down because innocent people needed to be rescued. Because it's the right thing to do.
Don't push your luck. I'm really not in the mood.
But we are going down.
Yes, Stuart. We're going down.
I'm going to get my really big gun.
You're going to stay in the background. Because you never know when an unsuspected backup will come in handy.
Oh, Pooh. I never get to have any fun.
Back behind their anonymous leather masks, Douglas Campbell and Stuart Lennox pushed open the hotel front door and stepped cautiously out into the main street. Crowds had already gathered, watching from a safe distance. Dirac and his men were waiting. The thugs and bully boys reacted strongly when they realized Douglas and Stuart both had energy guns in their hands, but Dirac gestured easily for them to be quiet. Up close, Dirac looked even bigger and uglier. Stuart couldn't help feeling that Dirac was the one who should have been wearing a mask.
It really is very simple. I can't have two such excellent fighters as your good selves working as independents. Not in my territory. Might give people ideas. Dangerous things, ideas. And there's always a chance you might end up working for one of my enemies. A successful businessman such as myself acquires enemies like a dog has fleas. So, You're going to work for me. I pay good wages, there are all kinds of fringe benefits, and you have job security for life. Because whatever happens in the rookery, I'll always be here, taking my cut.
And if we don't feel like signing up with a small-time thug with delusions of grandeur? If, in fact, we say, go to hell?
In that unlikely event, my men will kill the hotel owner and his family in appallingly inventive ways, set fire to the hotel and burn it down, and kill anyone who comes running out of the flames. And finally, my men will torture you to death right here in the street as an example of what happens to those foolish enough to defy me. A waste of good potential income, I admit, but business is business. You should feel flattered, gentlemen. I don't usually have to pressure people to work for me, but there's something special about you two, I can tell. Ex-military, right? Seen a lot of action, but couldn't fit in with the Durandal's new goody-goody regime. I thought so. You're not just muscle, you're muscle with brains. And I can always use people like that, on equality. You wouldn't believe how rare that is in the rookery these days.
Maybe I just weren't looking in the right places. Or maybe you wouldn't know real quality if you fell over it. Would you really kill everyone in this hotel just to save face?
Of course!
Dirac gestured expansively at the crowd that had gathered out of nowhere to watch the free entertainment.
A man is only as good as his word. And if that word is a threat, so much the better. Discipline must be maintained. But don't look on me too harshly, dear friends. I'm just a businessman, doing what it takes to get along. People don't matter here. Only power. The strength to take what you want, when you want it, and keep it.
And to hell with everyone else?
Exactly.
Things shouldn't be like this.
Welcome to Finn's empire. Welcome to the world he made, because there was no one left to stop him.
Someone should do something.
If not you, then who?
Oi! Excuse me, but I was talking. Ignore me again and I'll have my men teach you a lesson in manners.
Oh, hell. It never ends, does it? There's always work to be done, no matter how weary you are.
We can rest when we're dead.
I wouldn't put money on it. Nina! You're on!
Nina Malapert stepped elegantly out of the hotel front door, holding the biggest handgun anyone present had ever seen. The energy blast blew Dirac apart like a rotten apple. Even as the charred and smoking pieces were still flying through the air, Douglas and Stewart charged forward, sword in hand, and hit the men guarding the hotel owner and his family. The thugs and bully boys didn't even try to make a fight of it. They knew professional fighters when they saw them. Most just turned and ran. Douglas and Stewart cut down those who didn't run in no time at all. And as quickly as that, it was all over. Protection racketeers had friends only when they were on top. There was also a clear element of surprise in the applause. Heroes were rare in the rookery at the best of times, which these most definitely weren't. The hotel owner's wife and children regarded the two bravos with wide, worshipful eyes. Stewart shook thick drops of blood off his blade and grinned at Douglas.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Doing what we were meant to do.
All right, knock it off. I'm back.
It's time to wake up and get involved again. For better or worse, the rebellion starts here.
Yes! An exclusive for the new site!
Back in their room, sitting around the table with their masks off, Douglas and Stewart and Nina plotted revolution. Their faces were flushed with excitement and anticipation. They all felt more alive than they had in months.
So, how exactly does the rebellion start here?
I thought I'd take all the people here in the rookery and raise them up into an army I can set at Finn's throat. Not the best material, I'll admit, but you work with what's available. So, I'll talk to them, inspire them, fire up a sense of grievance and injustice, and then whip them up into a fury and...
Never work! In the whole history of the Rookery, no one's ever been able to get all of them to agree on anything. That's why most of them came here in the first place, because they couldn't get on with anyone else.
She may be loud and irritating, but she has a point. Nothing less than a full-scale invasion of the Rookery by Finn's army would ever unite these people into a common cause. And Finn's far too smart to do that. He knows all he has to do is wait, and they'll turn on each other.
An invasion? That's what we need, right enough. And Finn just might do it, if we scare him enough. But first, we need to get the people here on our side and under our command. I think I'll start with Random's bastards. They're the celebrities of this appalling place. They're fashion setters, trend setters. Where they lead, others will follow.
Yes, they're celebrities. And that's why they're never gonna follow two masked bravos from nowhere. We're good fighters, and perhaps even local heroes now, but so are most of the bastards. All they care about is fame and money, and we can't offer them either.
They care about who they are. Most importantly, they care about who their ancestor was. Give them a chance to be heroes and legends like the glorious Jack Random. Give them a chance to follow an outlawed king into battle against a corrupt emperor. To live the lives they've only dreamed about.
Douglas, you can't! Trust me, dear. This is a really bad idea. You show the bastards your real face, and they'll be lining up to betray you to Finn for the reward.
Damn right. They may be random spawn, but they know nothing of honor. And if there's anything they hate worse than an ex-king, it's an ex-paragon. Or have you forgotten that you spent most of your earlier career putting these scumbags behind bars?
The enemy of my enemy is my ally, if not my friend. We just have to demonstrate to the bastards that Finn is much more of a threat to them than they realize, and that we're the only people who can lead a rebellion against him. I've always found inspired self-interest to be a great motivator.
You'll be a dead motivator the moment you take your mask off.
We are going to see the bastards. Have faith, my children.
I'm taking my really big gun. And my best pair of running shoes.
So, a few days later, Douglas and Stuart and Nina, two masked bravos and a demon girl reporter, attended the next scheduled meeting of Random's Bastards. It wasn't difficult to track them down. This wide selection of men, women, and not a few alien hybrids who claimed to be descendants of the legendary professional rebel Jack Random always came together once a month to boast and brag about all the marvelous things they'd done and argue fiercely over their various claims to lines of descent from Jack Random. Their favorite rendezvous was a squalid little tavern down on Hell Street, the Three Cripples. An appalling place in practically every way, but the drink was cheap, and the owner was prepared to overlook the inevitable bad behavior in return for the regular booking. Douglas and Stuart and Nina looked distastefully at the stained walls, slumping roof, and windows that were blacked out for extra privacy, and stepped carefully over the bubbling open sewer to get to the main entrance. The bouncer at the door glared at them.
Hold it! The place is already packed wall to wall.
Nina showed him her really big gun.
Well, maybe a few more won't hurt.
Inside, the smell was worse, if anything. The air was thick with a smog of various illegal smokes, and there wasn't a chair or a stool to be had for love nor money. Nearly all of the men, women, and humanoid creatures were armed with weapons of some kind. The waitresses were all Madelines, a popular clone franchise knockoff, and they circulated as best they could through the heaving press of bodies, dispensing drinks and bar food of dubious provenance. Douglas and Stuart forced their way through the crowd with heavy scowls and vicious use of the elbow, while Nina brought up the rear.
How the hell are we going to get their attention?
Same way we did with Dirac. Nina, you wouldn't mind?
Everyone present fought to draw their weapons or locate the nearest exit. Nina carefully lowered her gun. Douglas jumped up onto the nearest table and smiled calmly about him.
Everyone relax. It's not a raid. Some of you may recognize me and my two friends as the ones who killed Dirac and broke up his protection racket. We did it because people shouldn't have to put up with shit like that. Just as you shouldn't have to put up with shit like this. Look at you. The descendants of a hero. A legend. And you're reduced to hiding out in the Rookery. Denied your true destiny. Unable to fulfill your potential. Unable to prove yourselves worthy of the legend of Jack Random. I've come to show you a way out. A way to change your lives forever.
And he took off his leather face mask. For a long moment, no one moved, held in a shocked silence, and they recognized Douglas Campbell. One thought was in all their minds as they looked on the ex-Paragon and ex-King, and that thought was money. The massive reward Finn had put on Douglas's head, preferably no longer attached to his body, would enable them to live like kings. There was another, smaller reward on Stuart's head. Finn could be sentimental that way sometimes. He didn't want Stuart to feel left out. The whole crowd looked at Douglas with hungry eyes, and then surged forward as one to drag him down. Stuart and Nina defended both sides of the table with kicks and punches and the occasional headbutt. Nina in particular proved especially adept at dirty fighting. Douglas looked calmly out over the uproar, not even bothering to draw his sword or his gun, even when the clutching hands came very close to his legs.
You must know my friends and I will kill a hell of a lot of you before you can drag us down. I was a paragon and a warrior long before I was a king. My friends are warriors too. You're ready to fight and die for money, but not your freedom? What would Jack Random think of that? He was the professional rebel. You're just professional lowlives. They're not very successful ones of late. Either you find the guts to fight back against Finn's unjust rule, or pretty soon there won't be any Random's bastards. He'll pick you off one by one, and your heads will decorate rows of spikes outside the palace as an example to others. And Jack Random's extended line will die with you. I never gave you any reason to love me, but at least I respected you. Finn's law is harsher on you than I ever was. He'll kill you all because of the legacy of freedom and justice you represent. Your only hope lies in rebellion. And for that, you need a leader everyone will follow. And that's me.
When the Campbell was a paragon, you always knew where you were with him. He was vicious, but fair.
You have to do this. You have to do it. For your pride and your freedom. I know there have been uprisings before, and Finn stamped them out with cruel, terrible tactics. He doesn't have to care about being popular anymore. But those earlier rebels were a bunch of amateurs. No common cause, no discipline, no leader. You are all practical professional rebels and practiced fighters. And you have me to lead you. You only have to look around you to see what the world has become, what the rookery has become. You were always rogues, but you had your pride. Now look at you, reduced to preying on each other for pocket change. You don't have to be like this. You don't have to live like this. You are Jack Random's legacy. A part of the legacy of the Great Rebellion, of Owen Deathstalker and his allies. And now, the time has come for you to be worthy of them. Don't wait for the Durandal to send his fanatics in here to clear the place out. Be the rebels you were born to be! Rise up!
Stuart and Nina couldn't believe it. Hardened criminals who'd steal the gold teeth from their sleeping grandmothers, who'd worked every con and scheme known to man, stamped their feet and hammered their hands together till they ached. It probably helped that most of them were broke and bored and more than ready for a little action. But Douglas had offered them their pride back again. And maybe, just maybe, there was some of Jack Random in them, after all. Douglas got down off his table. The bastards nodded respectfully to the ex-Paragon and to Nina's gun, but really, they had eyes only for Douglas.
Now, I'm going to look to you lot for some crucial information. I know you're...
He carried on talking long into the evening, mixing the inspirational with the practical. Declaring a rebellion was all very well, but there were details to be worked out. Luckily, among them, the bastards knew everyone in the rookery, or at least everyone who mattered. They knew exactly where Douglas should go next to best spread the message beyond the three cripples. They were all quick to reassure him that there were lots of people in the rookery who hated the way things were, and were only waiting to be given a focus and a leader. They wanted their old devious lives back, and were ready to fight for them. The rookery had always been full of fighters. They would follow Douglas because they knew him as a paragon and as a king, and as one of them, brought low by the hated Finn Durandal. More meetings followed, at carefully chosen venues all across the rookery, followed by open rallies attended by first hundreds and then thousands of eager listeners. Everyone wanted to hear Douglas speak, as he rallied and cajoled and inspired them with thundering words and the power of a simple truth, that they had the power to change their lives if they were only strong enough to seize it. Douglas reminded them of how far they'd fallen under Emperor Finn, and they roared their rage. Their anger had been silent and diffused for so long, only because no one had dared to stand up and put it into words. Douglas gave them back their pride, and they loved him for it. And finally, he stood on a simple stage in an open square, facing hundreds of thousands of eager listeners, and he knew it was time.
Let the word go out! From now on, the rookery is a no-go area for all of Finn's creatures. His authority has no power here. His overbearing and unjust rule stops at our borders. Any one of his people comes in, they don't get out again. No more taxes without representation. No more executions without trial. No more church militant bully boys telling you how to run your lives. No more Emperor Finn sneering at you because he thinks he doesn't have to be afraid of you anymore. He thinks he's broken you. It's time to prove him wrong. We're kicking his people out and taking the rookery back. Then the parade of the endless. And finally all of Logris. Because if not us, then who?
Finn must have heard them, even in the dark heart of his usurped palace. One man in particular felt his life change forever when he saw Douglas Campbell reveal his true identity in the Three Cripples that first night, Tel Markham, who had once been a member of Parliament and a mover and a shaker in any number of secret organizations, but who now washed dishes for a living in the filthy back kitchen of the tavern. He ate scraps of food left on plates and fought the rats and other vermin for it too. His once proud clothes were filthy rags, and he slept in a doss house, standing up in a line of men supported by ropes under their arms. The doss house owners packed them in for greater profit, and often the shared warmth of the packed bodies was all that kept the sleepers alive through the cold nights. Tel received a small remittance from his mother every month, supplied on the understanding that he wouldn't try to contact her or come home. He had made the family name a disgrace, she said, and he had failed to look after his brother, Angelo, who had always been her favorite. It had been Tel's refusal to murder his brother on Finn's orders that had brought him low. Tel was aware of the irony, but he didn't have much use for humor these days. His mother's money kept him alive, just. He had to stay alive. There were people he had to be revenged upon. Seeing Douglas alive had filled him with new hope. He followed the Campbell from rally to rally, listening to the man speak and watching the crowds. He needed to be sure Douglas was the real thing. And finally, when he heard the crowd roar at that last great rally, he hugged himself tightly in his rags. He decided it was time to introduce himself. He went to the Lantern Lodge Hotel one evening, slipping in through the kitchens because there was no way they'd let the likes of him through the front door. There were guards posted, but he dodged them easily enough and sneaked up the back stairs to Douglas's room. And then he hesitated at the door, afraid to knock. He'd fallen so very far from what he once was. And even when they were both men of power and influence, King Douglas had never had much time for the member for Madriguda. How would Douglas react to this shrunken thing of rags and tatters at his door? Tel shuffled his feet uncertainly, raised his hand to knock, and then let it fall again. He started to turn away. A large fist grabbed Tell by the shoulder of his filthy tunic and dragged him inside.
Ha! Told ya I heard someone sneak in a boat. Probably a spy or informer. Oh, well now I've got him. I'm not sure what to do with him. I just hope my inoculations are still working.
Stuart thrust Tell forward onto his knees before Douglas and ostentatiously wiped his hand on his arse to clean it. An unexpected surge of pride brought Tell's head up.
I am no spy or informer. Finn has no greater enemy than I. I came here to offer you my services.
Well, thanks very much and all that, but I don't think we need our boots cleaned at the moment.
You don't recognize me.
Tell fixed his eyes on Douglas.
Hell, I wouldn't know me looking like this. I'm Tell Markham, once the honorable member for...
Markham! One of Finn's creatures, then and now. Oh, God is good now and again, delivering our enemies into our hands. Move your boots back, Douglas. You don't want to get blood all over them when I kill them.
Wait! I was one of Finn's people, yes? Emphasis on the was. He ordered me to kill my brother Angelo, but I refused, so he turned on me. I had to run here, leaving everything behind just to save my life. And then he killed Angelo anyway, so it was all for nothing after all. No one in this room has a better cause to hate Finn Durandal than me.
Don't put money on it.
Why should we trust you?
You shouldn't. You shouldn't trust anyone in the Rookery. Finn seeded the whole place with his people long ago, but I know his secrets. I can identify his traitors, tell you of his plans. You only think you know how evil he is. You have no idea of who his allies really are and the terrible things he intends to do. You need to know what I know. Keep me around. I can be useful in the end. You'll learn to trust me. I'll advise you, follow you, fight beside you.
Why?
Because Finn killed my brother.
Ah, yes. Family obligations. I know all about those.
Douglas nodded to Stuart, who reluctantly took his knife away from Tell's throat. Tell rose slowly to his feet, awkwardly conscious of what a ragged and filthy picture he presented. It had been a long time since he could afford to care about his appearance, but he wanted, needed Douglas to remember him as the man he was, not the creature he'd become.
Oh, damn, Markham, but you stink. And to be that noticeable in a dump like this is something of an achievement. If you're going to spend any time with us, you need to take a bath. Urgently. There's a tin bath on the ground floor. Tell the owner I said you could use it and that he'd better scour and disinfect it afterwards. Hell, scrub it out yourself. We all have to use the bloody thing. God, sometimes I think I'm only fighting this rebellion for a return to decent plumbing.
First things first. I belong to the landlord of the Three Cripples. He owns my contract. I can't work for anyone else unless you buy me out. I shouldn't even be here, really, even if it is on what I laughingly refer to as my own time.
Slavery's illegal, even in the Rookery.
Lot you know.
Guess I'd better pay another visit to the Three Cripples.
You do that. And I think I'll force open the window while you're gone.
In the end, both Douglas and Stuart went with Tell to the tavern. Douglas talked to the landlord and offered the man a fair sum to release Tell from his contract.
I don't know. Tell is very important to the overall operations of this establishment. If I were to lose him, I don't know how I could...
Slavery is illegal. As of right bloody now.
You know, that isn't going to be a terribly popular sentiment in some parts of the Rookery. The tradition of indentured servitude goes back a long time here.
Tough. My leadership of this rebellion comes with a price, and the price is morality. The Rookery will become better than it was. The people will become strong again. They have to, because the weak and uncertain won't stand a chance against Finn's fanatics.
Douglas looked around at the small but attentive crowd that always appeared when he went out in public.
Wouldn't you all like to feel good about yourselves again?
A lady of a certain age with too much eye makeup stepped out of the crowd.
Don't you condescend to us, Arista. We were all born to wealth and privilege. We've had to make our own way. We fight Finn for our interests, not yours.
I could shoot her.
Don't tempt me.
Douglas smiled easily about him.
Your interests are my interests, and vice versa. We have a common cause, bound together by need and destiny.
He bowed courteously to the woman and walked on. Stuart and Tell followed him. Stewart scowled.
What the hell did that mean?
Beats me. Sounded good, though. When in doubt, baffle them with rhetoric. You know, things were a lot easier when I still had Anne to write my speeches for me. Look, what matters is getting the rebellion started. We can argue about what it's for after we've won.
Those sound an awful lot like famous last words to me.
Tell nodded solemnly in agreement.
I wonder if Owen had these problems.
They trudged along, Tell hanging back just a little. He had clean clothes now, and could stand to be downwind of himself at last, but he still didn't feel worthy to walk beside Douglas yet. His pride had been very thoroughly beaten out of him while working at the Three Cripples, and it was slow coming back. He'd spent most of the past few days rehearsing in his mind all that he remembered of Finn's plans and secrets and vulnerabilities. He could name a whole shitload of traitors, double agents, and deep cover sleepers in the rookery, but he needed more than that to make himself valuable to Douglas. He couldn't afford to be used and then discarded. He needed to attach himself to Douglas, make himself a part of the Campbell staff, so that when the rebellion was over and Douglas returned to power, Tell Markham wouldn't be left behind in the poverty he'd so narrowly escaped. For Tell, Douglas Campbell was a rising star, someone whose coattails he could ride to security, if not glory. He needed to be secure, to launch his revenges.
So, where are we going now?
We're going to the alien sector. Nina is meeting us there. She's made contact with a very useful alien hybrid called Nikki 16, who claims she can get us an audience with the leaders of the alien presence here in the rookery.
Are there enough of them here to make it worthwhile?
Oh, you'd be surprised at the size of the rookery's alien contingent. All kinds of aliens and hybrids end up here for all sorts of reasons. Either because they're political or religious refugees, or because they've acquired tastes for human pleasures or concepts that wouldn't be tolerated back on their home worlds. The rookery has always been a cosmopolitan kind of place, and very tolerant when it comes to unnatural vices. You wouldn't believe what some of these aliens get up to.
Yes, I bloody would. Nothing about this place surprises me anymore.
Some of the aliens are remittance people, paid to stay away from home and family, because they backed the wrong cause or got too friendly with the wrong individuals. Being part of a rebellion to overthrow Finn and his xenophobic allies could go a long way towards buying them a ticket home again. But you're going to have to be very careful, Douglas. All these different species have their own needs and agendas, and they'll only go along with you for as long as your needs coincide with theirs. Right now, all you have in common is a hatred of the Emperor.
Right now, that's enough.
The meeting place turned out to be an abandoned, boarded-up swimming baths in a grimy, especially run-down area of the rookery. The chipped and stained walls were covered with sprawling alien graffiti in a dozen different pictographs. Douglas could read a few of them and was sure Finn's mother had never done any such thing. Nina was sheltering in the recessed doorway, wrapped in a heavy cloak. Her pink mohawk drooped damply to one side.
About time you got here, darlings. This place gives me the creeps. And it's not exactly a salubrious neighborhood. The only reason it isn't crawling with muggers is because something's been eating them. And I don't know what the smell is, but I just know it's going to take ages to get it out of my clothes. Oh, and watch where you tread, because things go eek if you don't, and I really hope they're only rats. Nikki 16 brought me here and then couldn't leave fast enough, which tells you all you need to know about this area. Do we really need to be here, Douglas, sweetie?
Yes.
Douglas studied the door behind her. The swimming baths had been in a good location once, back when there had still been prosperous places to live in the rookery. Back then, the baths had been the center of what passed for polite society, and while the building as a whole might be crumbling and the windows boarded over, the main door was a single great slab of veined marble, held shut by heavy lengths of steel chain with massive padlocks. The padlocks hung open, showing they were expected, if not necessarily welcome, but clearly, the aliens took their security very seriously. Douglas gestured for Nina to stand aside, and she stepped reluctantly out into the rain. Stewart moved quickly forward to block Douglas's way.
I'll go first, Douglas. Always. Now that you're the leader of the rebellion, I'm a lot more expendable than you are.
No one's expendable, Stewart. That's what the rebellion's all about.
I still get to stand between you and all danger, Your Majesty. So hold your ground here, while I open the door, and then throw Tell in to check for traps and ambushes.
I don't find that at all funny. Does anybody find that funny?
I think it's a bloody good idea. I never trusted you, even when you were just a politician. You've got shifty eyes.
Stuart pushed the door slowly inward. A cloud of stinking steam wafted out that had them all wincing and pulling faces. The steam curled slowly around them, moist and heavy and unpleasantly warm. It was rank with unfamiliar elements that brought tears to the eye and a nasty taste in the back of the mouth. Stuart braced himself and stepped forward into the gloom beyond the door. There was an uncomfortably long pause, and then he reappeared again.
No one around. The lighting gets better as you go further in, but the steam is everywhere. I'd say it was all clear, but it manifestly isn't. We're being watched. I can feel it. The air smells like the devil's armpit, but it seems breathable enough. There are freshly daubed signs on the walls to point the way. It's not too late to call this off, Douglas. These aliens have no cause to like or trust humans anymore. Especially not a king who in the end couldn't protect them.
That's not fair.
Yes, it is. I was their king too. It was my job to protect them.
Nikki said there'd be someone in there waiting to meet us.
No sign of anyone. Or anything. Do we go in, Douglas?
Of course. We need them.
Douglas allowed Stuart to lead the way back in, but wouldn't let him draw a weapon.
Diplomacy first.
Funerals after.
Nina and Tel brought up the rear. The door slammed itself shut behind them, which surprised nobody. The tiled walls ran with moisture, the original patterns and designs mostly worn away. The ceiling dripped constantly, but was still a relief after the driving rain. The tiled floor was covered over with a thin gray slush that might or might not have had a purpose, but made the footing distinctly treacherous. The steam billowed more thickly around them the further in they went, and left a distinct chemical taste on the back of the tongue. Freshly painted arrows and what might have been alien blood pointed the way. They splashed carefully along a series of narrow corridors, following the signs and keeping a wary watch on all sides. Stuart insisted on keeping a few yards ahead of the others, so taut now that he was practically vibrating with tension. Douglas made a point of appearing carefree and relaxed. Nina and Tel huddled together for comfort, both clearly wishing they were somewhere else. The steam was getting thicker. And finally, they came to what used to be the main swimming area.